This is Matthew Pendergraf reporting from the 2016 Ocean Sciences Meeting here in New Orleans, and I'm here with...
I'm Ian McDonald from Florida State University, and I'm an oceanographer in the Earth, Ocean, and Atmospheric Sciences Department, and I'm here to describe the expedition that we made with the German ship Meteor and the University of Bremen Marum Institution. And in 2015, in March, we went to the Campeche Knolls region of the southern Gulf of Mexico to make another expedition to a series of ecosystems that we found originally in 2003 and dubbed the Asphalt Volcanoes. Well, the original site that we found was called Chapapote, which means oil seep in Aztec. And what these sites are, they're very, very deep. They're about 3,000 meters deep. And at these sites, there are little knolls that rise above the surrounding seafloor by 100 to 200 meters. And from the tops of these knolls, you have an eruption or an ejection of heavily weathered oil. And this stuff comes out in the consistency of asphalt and forms these large, dark surfaces that cover huge areas of the seafloor. And the chemicals that come out with these things, the oil and the gas and the methane, support chemoautotrophic, chemosynthetic fauna, such as tube worms and mussels. And so at these sites, you have an ecosystem which is supported by asphalt. So we call it the asphalt ecosystem. And there are a number of amazing features. We get gas hydrate, where the gas combines with water and forms an ice-like compound. We get these asphalt flows, which can cover hundreds of square meters. And we have places where gas is coming out of the bottom in bubbles. The asphalt itself takes on many bizarre shapes. As it flows out, it wrinkles and cracks and folds. And the closest comparison we can make is it looks kind of like the Aja or Pahoehoe lava that you would see in round volcanoes in Hawaii or someplace like that. And initially, when we found this stuff, we looked at that morphological resemblance to lava, and we speculated that the asphalt was coming out rapidly in some kind of possibly heated form. But now we think that idea was completely wrong. And what we think is happening is that the asphalt actually comes out very slowly, and that these wrinkles and folds that we see are a result not of cooling, but of chemical changes to the asphalt, so that it loses volatile materials and shrinks. And that shrinking process, you know, produces this interesting series of molds and features. There's a strong concern for environmental conservation here, because the northern Gulf of Mexico also has oil seeps and chemosynthetic communities, and the Bureau of Ocean Energy Management has a 20-year, 30-year policy of stringent protection, you know, for these sites, so that no oil or gas company can drill or explore without demonstrating that their activities will not impact chemosynthetic communities. But there are no such restrictions in Mexico, because until now, Mexico, the oil production offshore has been in relatively shallow water where there's no concern for chemosynthetic communities. So these areas, they're beautiful and they're bizarre and exotic, but they're also vulnerable because oil and gas activity, certainly drilling, but also exploration activities such as piston coring could physically impact these things and could even create oil flows or bubble discharges that would be environmentally important. So the asphalt ecosystem is an intriguing realm, very beautiful, and also very deserving of scientific study and management conservation.
Excellent. Very interesting stuff. I'd just like to take a moment to highlight the significance of these chemosynthetic communities. Before other chemosynthetic communities were discovered, correct me if I'm wrong, but our understanding was all energy for life derived from the sun. Is that correct? So there are a few of these that have been discovered in different ocean basins throughout the world. And before we'd seen these, we had a completely different understanding of where life gets its energy from and where life can evolve. Is that correct? And can you comment on that?
Sure, that's right. Well, all grade school children learn that all energy comes from the sun, and that's, you know, Mr. Sun supports all of the life on Earth. And really, that's to a large part true. But in the deep ocean, there's not very much food. In fact, it's very, very food limited. And so the organisms that live down there look for energy anywhere they can find it. And one of the places you can get energy is by chemical reactions. And one of the most common chemical reactions is to oxidize a H2S, hydrogen sulfide. If you oxidize that, there is a release of energy, and that little bit of release of energy can be used to drive the same the same mechanisms of carbon fixation that photosynthetic plants use. And so the initial discovery of this life form or life mode was made at the hydrothermal vents in Galapagos back in 1979, I guess it was. Since then, we've found this mode, chemoautotrophy or chemosynthesis, at many, many different sites. And it turns out that deep sea organisms, with the help of bacteria and archaea, are exceedingly clever at extracting energy, and including from chemical sources. So hydrothermal vents, natural oil seeps, rotting potatoes, anything that you, so shipwrecks that have organic material in them have been observed very often to sink to the bottom, and then the organic material rots, and chemosynthetic fauna go on and colonize that. Dead whales support chemosynthetic fauna, because the chemical energy given off as the organic material are broken down by the microbes. So it's just by way of saying that life is incredibly adaptive, and in the deep ocean there are many chances for adaptations that are remarkable and give rise to intriguing communities.
Great. Thank you for elucidating on that. This very unique community, observed only a few places in the deep ocean, before which we discovered this. This has really changed our understanding of life on Earth, and we have them here, right here in the Gulf of Mexico. So again, I thank Ian McDonald with Florida State University for explaining this unique, somewhat local feature here in our local Gulf. And thank you very much for your time.
Sure.